Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Israel's airspace was closed following the IDF's strike on Iranian territory. That took place late Friday night. Security officials estimated that Ben-Gurion Airport will remain shut for at least 3 to 4 days. El Al announced that civilian departures and arrivals are suspended due to airspace closure. As a result, all flights have been cancelled through till tomorrow. Additional cancellations have been announced through Monday, the 23rd of June, from destinations including Berlin, Barcelona, Munich, and Venice. Foreign carriers have also implemented sweeping cancellations. US-based Delta Airlines said it suspended its flights to Israel. That's through until August the 31st. The Lufthansa Group has cancelled flights. That's through until June 22nd. And British Airways announced full suspension of services to Israel. That is until the end of July. A report on the business news site has revealed that 184 partners from the law firm Meitar are currently stranded in Africa. Most of them traveled there with their spouses, and the firm is now expected to operate primarily via remote network. So there's an incredible amount of Israelis who have been stranded outside of Israel and who want to get back. That is an ongoing story. With regard to the Israel-Iranian war and the international implications, the international consequences, everybody on Twitter or X seems to be an expert. Everybody's telling me who is breaking international law. But they are facts. Either they are or they are not. How do we navigate this what seems to be a very difficult area? Well, Dr. Tal Mimran is an associate professor of the Tzfat Academic College and the academic coordinator of the International Law Forum at Hebrew University. Dr. Tal Mimran, good morning. Thank you for joining us. First of all, how are you? Did you get any sleep last night?
I did. We had some breaks, but we are happy to live through historic times, and we are happy to pay the costs that are required for that.
So the allegations around international law are significant. You know, Israel started it. Iran is just defending itself. How do we navigate it?
So we need to differentiate the analysis between two phases. One phase is the phase of initiation of hostilities, which is a field that we call in international law as jus ad bellum. Mm-hmm. And there is also the second phase, once we are inside the hostilities, which is called jus in bello. And there we evaluate each and every target decision making and every object that is being striked under the basis of international humanitarian law. Now, the main dilemma when it comes to Israel and Iran, you mentioned Israel started it. So the main first question is, when did it actually start?
Yes.
Are we talking about a conflict that began a few days ago? Are we talking about a conflict that began on October 7, when a proxy of Iran, Hamas, attacked Israel under the direction and encouragement of Iran? Maybe we can even broaden the spectrum even further. So the starting point matters. And we have two avenues of looking at the situation. One avenue is to look at the situation as if it is a new conflict, which is the wrong possibility in my view. And the other one is to look at the current situation as a new phase in an ongoing conflict.
Right.
And in my view, the fact that proxies of Iran have been attacking Israel since October 7, including Hamas, Hezbollah, Houthis, militias in Iraq, then it is clear that there is something that has been ongoing since October 7. But even if you ignore this fact, and even if you put aside this argument, Iran directly attacked Israel two times recently, on April and on October. So Iran has also decided to take part in an ongoing conflict with Israel. And after the last round of hostilities between Iran and Israel in October, Iran stated clearly they are preserving the right to strike again Israel. So if Iran is preserving the right to strike again Israel, then there is a reciprocal right of Israel to preserve its right to attack again Iran. And then the discussion moved to areas of proportionality and necessity. So in my view, there is a clear justification to begin with, and we can talk about proportionality and necessity if you want.
Right, but does it matter? You know, this label of breach of international law has been so used and accused that I wonder if it really has any, if it still has any real impact.
So law is being violated on the domestic and international level constantly on a daily basis. Every day, someone is being killed or raped or someone is stealing. And there are violations of domestic and international law on a daily basis. The question is, do we as a society continue invoking the law as part of, as a rhetoric tool or as a means of justification to point out to the values of our society? So maybe international law is being violated on a more notable basis in recent years. But so long as states are justifying their acts or accusing other states of violating norms of international law, then the system holds. And we have seen international law going through different periods of history, through Second World War, two World Wars, apologies, through colonialism, through many, many areas of life that we thought that will become more important than the law. But at the end of the day, international law withstood. International law is still with us, and I believe that international law will dictate the day after the battle between Iran and Israel. But currently, we are all understanding, I think we, the international community, is understanding that there is a very unique situation, and this is a historical moment which needs to exhaust itself. States are waiting to see how it will evolve, and then they will decide in which way they want to intervene.
Which is interesting, because there does seem to be that approach, is let's see how this plays out over the next few days. Trump has made that comment as well and says sometimes people just need to, these things need to happen. Can we expect anything from the United Nations? Not anything good. That is greatly unlikely, but highly unlikely. But what can we expect? What should we expect, in fact?
Within a few days, the Security Council will try and promote a discussion and maybe even some resolution on the topic. I believe that the UN, within a week, will try to promote a negotiation towards the end of the resolution. But I don't think that we will see here a reaction which is similar to the one that we are seeing when Israel is fighting its war against Hamas, Hezbollah, and other non-state actors. This is a new situation. This is the first time Israel is facing a sovereign nation since 1973. It's the first time. And I'm very glad to see that the international community is understanding the difference between a state fighting for its existence and between a state that deals with terrorist threat in the form of non-state actors.
That is where we leave it. It'll be a continuing conversation. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind. We'll be checking in with Tal Mimran over the next few days as this conflict evolves. That is Dr. Tal Mimran. He's an associate professor at the Tzfat Academic College and the academic coordinator of the International Law Forum of Hebrew University.